Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
All right, we're going to start a little bit early. Got some commercials to play here in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to get Celeste Malloy on the air. Congresswoman Celeste Malloy is live with me in studio, looking fantastic as always. Hi, Celeste. How are you?
Well, I'm doing better now. Thank you for that compliment.
You just went on a road trip. Now, I went on a road trip. I talked about it a lot on the show. I got to go to Europe and see some of the cool castles and cathedrals and stuff. And yeah. It was really awesome. My trip was purely pleasure. Your trip was a little more businesslike.
Yeah, I went to Ukraine last week.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see any castles.
No.
I did hear a few missiles.
No.
And
I don't like that.
Yeah, well, so every night that we were in Kyiv, in the middle of the night, the sirens would go off and you'd have to go down into a shelter.
Really? Like at 2 a.m., whatever?
Yeah, well, no, I'm an old lady. I go to bed early, so like 11:30.
Okay. You're not an old lady.
And no, it varied. One night it was like at 1:30, one night it was 11:30. And usually it was kind of far away. Like the Ukrainians didn't even respond to the sirens most of the time. But one night that I was there, they were targeting the new F-16s. And they were parked in an airfield that wasn't very far from where we were. So the missiles were actually coming fairly close to where we were. Wow. And I went down the elevator. And then I had to step outside of the hotel to go down into the underground parking to get to the shelter. And just as I stepped outside, a Patriot intercepted one of the ballistic missiles in the air. Man. And so I got to feel what that feels like when you're on the ground and a missile gets intercepted in the air above you. And you can feel it in your chest. It was a big, boom and a percussion.
Mercy.
So that was an educational experience for me.
Yeah.
And I learned something about myself because you always wonder what you'll be like in that kind of situation,
sure.
Right? I didn't scream. And I didn't have an accident. I just kept going to the shelter. So now I know that in a situation like that, I can stay calm and keep going.
Panic did not set in. That's good.
No, but it was, I mean, it's something that I never expected to experience in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And it gives you a whole new level of appreciation for what people who live in a war zone for 2 years are experiencing on a regular basis.
A regular basis. So what was the number one purpose of your trip?
Well, it was to see how they're spending the aid we've sent them.
Okay.
So I voted against the Ukraine supplement back in April, whenever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got invited on this trip just to go see how it is they're spending. Because I said, I think we need to support Ukraine, but I'm not comfortable sending them cash. So they invited me on this trip to go see how they're using the equipment that we've sent them, but also how they're using the money we've sent them. And it wasn't an official State Department trip, because if you're traveling with the U.S. government, they won't let you stay overnight in Ukraine. You take a 10-hour train ride in, you spend 8 hours in country, and you take a 10-hour train ride out. I was actually in country, well, in the area for a week.
Okay. Tell me your itinerary. How did you, you left, Vegas or Salt Lake?
Salt Lake, yeah. So I flew to Eastern Europe, and we started in Moldova.
Okay. Most people have no idea where that is.
Well, I do now, and it's beautiful. It's ag country, lots of beautiful farms.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Moldova into Ukraine, and we actually started in Odessa, and then
Odessa,
went to Kyiv.
Ukraine, okay.
Yeah. And then
I've been to Odessa, Texas. That doesn't mean anything, but
I haven't been to Odessa, Texas, so I can't compare the two.
Okay.
But Odessa in Ukraine is beautiful. It's right on the Black Sea. It's a port city.
Okay.
A really important port city. And it has been for, a couple hundred years. But right now it's kind of a dead city because there's a war going on.
Yeah.
And then we went to Poland on the way out.
Wow. Were you apprehensive about this trip? Going in, were you like, I don't know if I want to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's my second trip to a war zone. Both of them have happened since I've been in Congress. So I was in Israel in April.
Wow.
But in Israel, it felt different. They're our closest ally in the Middle East. We have a very close relationship with Israel. In Ukraine, it felt a little different. It felt a little more vulnerable, but it was still really important. There's nothing like being on the ground and seeing something with your own eyes and experiencing it and hearing from people. And I ended up being the only Republican on the trip. So there were two others who were supposed to go.
That's fun.
And they backed out last minute. So it was two Democrats and me. And that was an education.
Did you talk politics on the train?
No, we actually didn't. It was, in fact, we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking on the train. The logistics of getting around were such that we didn't have a lot of downtime to just chit chat with each other, except on the way out. But it is interesting to hear a Democrat's perspective on Ukraine and why they want to send so much aid. The two Democrats who were on the trip were both on the House Armed Services Committee. And so they both spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, world politics and military aid. And it was an educational trip. I think it was a good use of time now that I'm back safely.
Did you, in talking with them, did they change your perspective on anything? We'll talk about the trip, but first the Democrats that you were with.
Yeah, no. One of them was more persuasive than the others. I'm not going to name names, but there's a difference between talking to one of your colleagues who wants to just tell you how you should feel all the time and be condescending and talking to a colleague who's willing to engage and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I think we all know that, but it is easy to forget that in politics, even, you know, here locally when we're talking politics.
Yeah.
When you listen to somebody, engage with their ideas and have a real conversation with them, you may or may not change their mind, but you've at least gotten them to think a little bit. When you just come at somebody and tell them they're an idiot and they should think like you, I don't know that that's ever changed anyone's mind in the history of the entire world.
No, it sure hasn't. All right, what about your trip? Did that change your perspective on things?
A little bit. I still feel the same way. I'm more nervous about sending them cash than I am about sending them weapons. But you cannot help but be inspired when you see how hard the Ukrainian people are scrapping to hold on to their freedom. I think as Americans, that's just in our DNA.
Yeah.
We love to cheer on anybody who's fighting for their freedom. And I was impressed with how hard they're working at anti-corruption. It's in our DNA as Americans. The rule of law is part of our fabric. And it's hard to imagine not having that sort of basic framework of everybody is accountable under the law. And they haven't. They're a former Soviet country, and bribery and corruption are part of that culture, and it just has been. And so now, in the midst of that, they're trying to implement anti-corruption measures, and it's probably like policing during Prohibition, right? Who's policing the police, and who's policing
everywhere.
The judges, and it's so pervasive, but they're really committed. They want to be part of the European Union. And so they've got to become more European and less Russian in how they, you know, operate. And I was impressed with how seriously they're taking that. If you can imagine being in a really corrupt system and trying to clean it up one person at a time, it takes a heroic effort.
Now, a lot of people would say, well, Celeste Malloy's weak points coming into her new job as a congresswoman, it was foreign policy and foreign affairs.
Yeah.
Has your trip to Israel and now your trip to Ukraine, has that improved your acumen? Are you getting better and smarter about this kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely. When I say I've been to two war zones in the last 8 months, there's a reason I've been to two war zones in the last 8 months. I think if you want to be an effective public servant, you've got to be eyes wide open about where your blind spots are and where your weaknesses are, and be willing to go learn some things and find people who are smarter than you about those things and bring them into your orbit. And that's one of the things that I've been doing. Anybody who tells you they're an expert on everything in Congress will lie to you about other things too. But I have had a really good experience with my colleagues being willing to share their expertise with me. And the beautiful thing about that is that I can share my expertise with them. I can talk to people who are great on foreign affairs, but don't know anything about water rights or land or natural resources. Or, you know, they don't really think about religious freedom issues, which matter to us a lot in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
we came here.
Yeah. Well, and that's the way a legislative body's supposed to work, right? That's why you have 435 or 438, depending on who you count, of us. We're not all going to be experts on everything, but collectively as a body, we can be experts on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, I saw a post just a little while ago online about water, and I know that's one of the areas where you are an expert. And somebody, I don't know who the source of this, but they said Washington County will run out of water in 5 years no matter what happens. I don't believe that's true. It's a conspiracy theory. But do you have some insight into that and what the future is going to be like here? water-wise?
This is, you want me to give you insight into a Facebook post by somebody I don't know and didn't see?
Well, I'll do it. Okay.
Because you've been good to me, Andy, and let me come on the air, I'll do it. No, I don't think it's fair or accurate to say Washington County is going to run out of water in 5 years, no matter what. It is fair to say there's a risk of Washington County running out of water in the near future. And that's why it's so important that we do good planning and eyes wide open, be honest about the threats planning. Washington County's done a really good job the last few years of stepping up on some things that we haven't always been really good about, or we haven't always been good about talking about, you know, reuse and conservation and, you know, being more efficient with the water we have. And that makes it go farther. If you were here 20 years ago and you're here now, you can see that there is a very large difference in how many people are here using water and how we use that water.
Right.
And we don't give ourselves enough credit. You know, the population of the state has grown and grown and grown in the last decades. Our water supply has not. We're still here. We're getting more efficient. We're using it better. We're being more aware of that problem. So hopefully we don't run out of water in the next 5 years, but it is something that could happen if we weren't being smart about it. Luckily, the Water Conservancy District does a great job. Our mayors and county elected officials and the state are all working together to make sure we don't run out of water in 5 years. And it takes the cooperation of the people who live here. It takes people changing their mindset about how they use water.
Agreed. And I think it's a big ship to turn, but I think it is turning.
I can only
speak personally about my neighborhood and the people that I know, but I think everyone that I know has gone, okay, it's not good to have the sprinklers on during the middle of the 110-degree day.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't really need a big, giant lawn.
Yeah, nobody wants to mow the lawn anymore.
Yeah. Well, and it's true. And you know, one of the things Zach Renstrom always says is if the only time you're ever on your grass is to mow it, then you probably don't need that grass.
Yeah. He's a smart guy.
He is.
He's the guy in this county who wakes up in the middle of the night thinking about how are we going to make sure we don't run out of water in 5 years.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. On this Ukraine trip, so again, mine was a pleasure trip. It was a vacation to Europe. It was something I never thought I'd do, but I did, and I loved it. But I got to tell you, the travel part of it was brutal. We took a flight from Amsterdam to Vegas.
Ooh.
So one flight. I mean, we were Zurich to Amsterdam, then Amsterdam to Vegas.
How many hours?
10 hours in the air.
Ugh, lightweight.
And I gotta tell you, I know. I had Larry Gelwicks on the other day, and he's like, "Well, you know, our ancestors were in ships and boats in the steeries, they call it, for months at a time, and you should be grateful. 10 hours is nothing." And
yeah, but they could stretch their legs.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, the plane was packed. There was nowhere to walk. You know, there was like 2 bathrooms for 600 people, and you know, I mean, it was rough. And I'm guessing your trip back. And how long have you been back from Ukraine?
I got back last weekend.
I'm guessing that the trip back from Ukraine was brutal, yeah?
Yeah, it was not for wimps or first-time travelers.
Uh-huh.
But I did get to do something I've never done before. It was a 10-hour train ride from Ukraine to Poland, and then a short flight to Germany, and then a 10-hour flight to Denver, and then a short flight to Salt Lake, and then a drive to Cedar City. So I felt a little bit like our pioneer ancestors.
A little bit, yeah.
It wasn't 4 months.
Is that like 24 hours of travel?
I don't know, because of the time zone changes. I never did add it all up, but at least that, because it's 10 hours on a train and 10 hours on an airplane.
Yeah.
And the worst part is I got some sort of stomach bug right before I left.
No.
So there's nothing like having an upset stomach when you're on a 10-hour flight, just to test the systems and see how tough you really are.
Yeah, wow. But you're here. And by the way, you look great. You don't look like you just got back from Ukraine.
Thank you. Somebody told me last night I look exhausted. So thank you.
You do not look exhausted today. You look great.
Good.
So, and by the way, guys, just future reference, if you're going to talk to a woman and you tell a woman she looks tired, that is not a smart thing to do.
You're going to get a black eye.
Yes. Do not do that. I actually made that mistake last week. Told my wife, I said, "Oh, your eyes look tired." And she goes, "Oh, do I look old to you, dear?"
Yeah. No, rookie mistake. How did you not know this?
I was trying to be honest with her.
Honesty is not always the best.
Not always the best. All right, we're talking with Congresswoman Celeste Molloy, who is gracious enough to come and spend a few minutes with us. I have a note. Bella, Belle is your...
she's my comms director.
Yeah. She said you want to talk about also abandoned hard rock mines in Utah and your bill to clean those up.
Yeah, so I introduced the Good Samaritan Act, and what it does is try to create better incentives. Right now you've got every incentive to stay away from an abandoned mine because of liabilities for cleanup, and we're trying to make it so that you have incentives. Other mining companies or nonprofits that like to clean up abandoned mines to go in and clean it up without assuming a bunch of liability that you can't handle. And usually we introduce bills in the House and then we wait and wait and wait to see what the Senate does. But this one, I introduced it in the House and it just passed the Senate. So now if we can get it through the House, we will actually have a bill that's been passed that's really good for places like Utah where we have abandoned mines. And a lot of times there's still mineral value, especially with new technology. We can get extract minerals from things that were waste a few decades ago.
Do you know, do you have a number about how many of those are, there are of those in Utah? Just ballpark?
Hundreds, but I don't have the number. Okay. But we wouldn't start with all of those. It would start with a few and see how it goes and then move up from there.
So these are, most of these are these on private, are they privately owned or are these on public lands?
It depends on how old they are. You know, if they're old mines, then you could get a patent for the mining claim. If they're newer, then they could be on public lands.
Okay. But people can and have been hurt messing around with these old mines.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're a liability just sitting there. There may be chemicals that, you know, there's an open hole and now people can go in and fix those problems.
Yeah.
If this passes. It hasn't passed the House yet.
Okay. Well, you got to pass the Senate, though.
It did pass the Senate, unexpectedly, right, as they went into August recess.
How does that work? Because you're a congressman, a member of the House.
Yeah.
How did it go to the Senate first?
So there was a companion bill in the Senate.
Oh, I see.
So the same bill got introduced on both sides of the Capitol, and then, you know, that's what the Schoolhouse Rock video is about, right? If it passes.
That was a long time. That was like 50 years ago for me. So
if it passes both chambers, then it goes to the president's desk to be signed into law.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not going to comment about our president and signatures and stuff like that. I don't know if he could even write one at this point. But
well, he signed the letter that said he was willing to step down, or somebody signed the letter. So we know they're capable of getting a signature.
Somebody's been doing a lot for him, I have a feeling. But anyway, well, Celeste, I'm gonna let you go. It was a great, it looked like we had about 16, 17 minutes together. So that was awesome.
Well, thank you for that.
I appreciate you coming in, what you know, the service you're putting in and going to places like Ukraine and Israel on behalf of the United States and on behalf of Utah to learn more, I think is invaluable. I think like what you said, to claim you're an expert on everything, and not do anything about it because, oh, I already know about that is naive and really is terrible. And a lot of politicians do it.
Yeah, well, and that's the message I delivered to President Zelensky when we met with him. You know, everybody knew that I'd voted against the supplement bill, so they were pretty skeptical of me when I got there. And I kept telling them I owe it to the taxpayers in the United States to come and see it for myself. You keep asking us for aid, and the only way I can in good conscience engage in that conversation is if I have a good understanding of what you're doing with it. And I think they get that.
One last question about that, and you just now popped into my head. Did you feel like they were putting on false fronts for you while you were there, or do you feel like you got the real story?
I don't know if they were putting on false fronts, but they definitely had a story they wanted us to see.
Yeah.
But I was also talking to people. You know, there are a lot of English speakers around, and, you know, I went to dinner on my own and talked to some Ukrainians, and you know, some of the people, security people that were part of our detail, have been in country for a long time, and I got to talk to them in the car between visits. And so there are ways you can glean information between the lines. I mean, I think they were trying to be upfront, but everybody's biased about their own issues, and then there were other ways that you could see what's really happening in real time, or the way the people in Ukraine respond to things.
Well, Celeste, you're welcome on the show anytime, and I appreciate you coming by today.
I will gladly come
back.
And
you do not look tired. We'll take a break. Be back with, actually, we have someone in for the mayor today. We're going to talk Hurricane City when we come back. Welcome back, and thanks again to Celeste Malloy, the Congresswoman, for spending a little bit of time with us on the air today. Tiffany Wright is with me now. Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Tiffany is the Recreation Director with Hurricane City, and I'm going to rag on Nanette for a minute. Last month, she sent someone in her place, and I said, it was Dorella, and I said, she did a fantastic job, but we missed you. There's nothing like the real thing, and Nanette said, I'll be there next month, guaranteed. She's not.
So, no, she's not.
She's out shooting bears or something.
Yeah, and I tried to get Dorella to come again, but...
Well, I'm glad you're here, though, Tiffany. I appreciate you coming in. Tiffany is a Washington City native.
I sure am.
Yeah, grew up in Washington City, went to Pineview High School. Mm-hmm. Now, I have so we lived in Washington City for 19 years, my wife and I, and our kids. All our kids went to Pineview. But I lived in Hurricane right before that. So I went from Hurricane to Washington City. And I got to tell you, I don't know if the feeling's mutual, Pineview and doesn't like Hurricane, but I know a lot of Hurricaneites do not like Pineview. So, in fact, I have a good friend. His kids went to Hurricane High, and he said, I hate Pineview. That's him. I'm not saying it's everybody, but that's him. So you managed to bridge the gap here.
I don't know if I bridged it well, but yes, I think when I first moved to Hurricane, for sure my husband was a little... maybe ashamed, like he didn't make that public knowledge that
I
was
from.
Not
tell anybody where you're from.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. So your husband is a Hurricaneite?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
How did you guys get together then?
Actually, it was a blind date.
That really?
Someone blind? Else set us
I
up.
Thought those never worked out.
I
Apparently
know.
They do occasionally.
Once in a while.
Tiffany, you played multiple sports at Pineview High School, right?
Back I
in
did.
The day?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Who were some of you? I'm trying to think. I mean, this is a long time ago, but I'm trying to think. Who do you remember some of your teammates from back in the day, at least in basketball?
Of course I do, yes.
Okay. Well, drop some names at me. If I remember.
So I played with Mandy Shaheen, okay. Corey Benton.
I remember Corey very well, point guard.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Corey and I were the same age, so... my sophomore year and my senior year, we took state.
Really?
My junior year, we lost
in basketball?
To Hurricane.
Really? Oh, a little history there, huh?
Yes.
You lost state to Hurricane.
We lost state to Hurricane.
Wow.
A buzzer beater. So.
Wow. How do you resolve that in your mind? How did it? Because now you work for Hurricane City.
I do, yes. And I see lots of those girls that I played against still, and it's fun. It's fun now.
I remember Corey got married to a guy that I knew, that apparently she didn't until she started dating him, but I can't. What's her name now? Do you remember?
McClellan.
Yeah, Casey McClellan.
Yes.
Yeah, Casey is her husband, and it was kind of cool. So when you get old like me, and I'm getting old, but... I now see kids of players that I did games for on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to wonder if I'm going to start seeing grandkids soon of kids that I've, of games I broadcast. There was a guy that played for Snow Canyon years ago, a running back, and he was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, his son came through the system, but he played soccer. And I couldn't help but give this guy a hard time. I'm like, how can you let your son play that sport when you're an American in football? But, yeah.
That's a travesty.
His son was quite good at soccer.
Oh,
too,
okay.
So I guess there's that. But, yeah, again, Tiffany, appreciate you coming in. And we're going to talk a little bit about Peach Days coming up. What are the dates on Peach Days?
Peach Days starts August 29th, 30th, and 31st.
Not very far away. Today's the, 15th, so 2 weeks from today.
Yep. It's coming up fast.
Wow. Now, Peach Days is unique, and I've had an opportunity to attend quite a few Peach Days. It has some different events that maybe you wouldn't think are necessarily Southern Utah events, but they really are, such as boxing.
Yeah, actually, when the Peach Days was kind of evolved into the Washington County Fair, kind of took over that boxing. We have had boxing in the past. We don't this year.
Okay.
And we haven't for many years, actually.
Okay.
But it has been a push to bring it back. So
I can't remember his name, but I had a friend who participated when he was younger in the boxing events. And he said you would go and box, and people would actually throw money in the ring.
Oh,
And that's how, he said, that's why we did it. We would box and, you know, and if we put on a pretty good show and box pretty hard, people would throw money in the ring and you would pick the money up and that's how you got
that's
paid.
That's how you got paid. Oh,
he was
wow.
a professional boxer, I guess, in that way.
That's
kind of cool.
Awesome.
What does, no boxing this year at Pete's Age, what are some of the events that we look forward to?
Well, so even though I gave you the dates of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we actually do have a golf tournament that starts on Tuesday.
Okay.
And then we have...
Are you a golfer, by the way?
I golf. I'm not a golfer, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I wish.
I can't golf. I don't golf. I'm not good at all.
I feel like I kept thinking, I'm athletic. I can golf. But it doesn't translate well.
It does not. No, I thought I was a pretty good basketball player back in the day. You probably were, too, but... Then you pick up a golf club and you have to hit this little tiny white ball and make it go places. And yeah, and
like yeah, it's said, hard. Yeah. It's hard. I'd much rather put a basketball in a hoop than
yeah. a tiny hoop's pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. So anyway, yes, golf on Tuesday. Wednesday we have a concert that will kind of open up Wednesday night, as well as a pickleball tournament that starts Wednesday as well.
So. Now, have you gotten into pickleball? And Stockton's looking at me. He's going, yeah, Andy heard the word pickleball. He's excited. I love pickleball. I really do.
I love pickleball, too.
Yeah? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
It's very fun and very popular. So our pickleball always fills up super fast. So.
And it used to be, I wrote an article about this a few months ago. It used to be pickleball was an old person sport.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had 60, 70-year-olds playing, and they were the only ones that played. At least that was a perception. It's not like that at all
nope.
anymore. In fact, oftentimes I will go play, and I will be the oldest person on the court. I'm only 58. I mean, there's a lot of young people that play and love it. It has, I always say it takes a minute to learn and a lifetime to master. It's so easy to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad you're having a pickleball.
We are having a, yeah. And pickleball, I agree with you. It was started out as kind of an old person's game, but, I mean, the high school, we share the courts with them because mm-hmm. they don't have pickleball courts. So they'll just walk the block over to the community center and those high school students love pickleball as well.
Yeah.
So
it's addictive.
Yes, it is. And we're also trying to get a youth program going because even the little ones want to play pickleball. So.
Yeah. In fact, I know St. George City has some pretty robust youth leagues going. And in fact, I guess if you get good enough in the youth leagues, they kick you out and make you play with the grown-ups.
Oh, really?
Because the last time I played league, we actually had a guy that was a kid that was 14, another kid that was 12 that played in our league because they were better than all the kids playing their
oh,
age.
Really? So. Yeah, that's the unfortunate part.
But it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I love pickleball. Yeah. We used to, until it got really hot, we were playing two or three times a week, my wife and I, but in the heat, we haven't played much this summer.
Oh, good for you, though.
Too hot.
So fun. It is fun. And it's good so. That you can, it's something you can do as couples, so I love it.
And that's originally what drew us. Pickleball, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For me, it was something my wife and I were fairly even at. You know, and we played other sports, and mm-hmm. and being a guy, I was better at her in most of the sport, basketball, stuff like that, just because I was bigger and stronger, and that's just the way it was. But pickleball, I found that we were actually pretty fairly competitively close to each other. So,
yeah.
It's a good thing for couples to do. You and your
for
husband
sure.
get out?
Yes.
All right.
On occasions.
Okay. On occasions.
Yeah,
okay.
He gets frustrated. He's like me. We're athletic. We should be able to do this.
Uh-huh.
So when we whiff a ball, we're like, what the heck?
I hit that really hard. Why didn't it go where I want it? Anyway, yeah. All right, what else is happening with Peach Day?
Okay, so then Peach Day actually kicks off on Thursday at 5 o'clock. It opens. We have lots of vendors.
You know what? I just realized I got to get a commercial break in. So let's do that, and then we'll talk about the calendar some more. And I got to pay some bills, or I'm going to get in trouble. So we'll be right back. We're talking Peach Days with Tiffany Wright. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Celeste Malloy was on. Tiffany Wright is on right now. Tiffany is in a unique position. She is a Washington City lifer, sort of, She lives in Hurricane now. In fact, she works for Hurricane City as a recreation director. And we were just kind of reminiscing, Tiffany, about all the people that we know. I lived in Washington for 19 years. You lived in Washington probably for at least
19 years.
Yeah, 19 years. So we probably have a lot of friends in common. We know like I was saying, if you know Staley's, you know half of Washington City already. So.
For sure.
are you getting to know the old guard, as it were, of Hurricane? All the people that have made Hurricane what it is?
Yes. I love Hurricane now. Like you said before, with Hurricane coming from Pine View to Hurricane, being from Pine View, I hated playing Hurricane. I hated their crowd. I was like, they're the worst. But now I sit amongst them and I love them and I think they're amazing people. And so, yes, I feel like I'm getting to know, and my husband teases me. He's born, raised there, and he says, I'm now known as Tiffany's husband instead of, you know.
That happens.
That's me. So, anyway. So I am getting to know Hurricane probably a whole lot better than I know Washington.
The football rivalry back when you were in high school and shortly thereafter was pretty fierce between Pine View and Hurricane because they were the two best teams in football back then.
Yes. So that's fun.
Yeah. Hurricane did something that Pine View never did, though. Hurricane got a state championship.
They did.
And Pine View did not.
That's true.
So looking for that one.
Yes.
But as far as football is concerned, I know that's not your area of expertise, but Hurricane's got a new coach. Pine View has a fairly new coach who was a former player, and both programs in rebuild mode a little bit, but hopefully they'll surprise some folks this year.
I hope so too. I even though it is not, I'm not involved in any way with the high school, but my boys have played for Hurricane. I love the football program and have high hopes for it. And Coach Jerry Cowan has come in this year, and hopefully we see some good changes. So
I want to say he was it Duchesne where he came from?
He
won state championships there. This
sure
is a guy
did.
Used to success. So.
Yeah, and he's actually a couple of boys have followed him. So we have a couple of Duchesne boys that are playing.
Very good.
That are now Hurricane Tigers. So
yeah, and they get the pleasure of jumping into a very fierce Region 9.
For sure. Yes. So it'll be eye-opening for them as well. So.
All right, let's get back to Peach Days a little bit. Peach Days is 2 weeks from today is the official beginning of Peach Days. Tell us about that first day.
All right. So first day, it opens Thursday at 5 o'clock at the Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
In Hurricane, downtown Hurricane. So we'll have lots of, food vendors, commercial vendors. We have about 60 food vendors coming, 60 commercial vendors. And then we have, arts and crafts, homemade goods, about 40 homemade, artisan vendors that will be there as well. We also on Wednesday, let me back up a little bit. The community is coming to drop off kind of like the fair. They can enter their visual arts, their homemade goods, their produce, their fruits and vegetables, their eggs from their chickens. So they get to enter some of their products and showcase some of the things that they've maybe worked on or done this past year. They'll be judged. Ribbons will be given, and then cash prizes.
So. I love cash prizes.
I like cash prizes too.
I know we don't want a lot of history, and you probably don't know a ton of history, but why Peach Days? I think a lot of people don't realize that peaches were pretty big in Hurricane for a while.
Yes. So Peach Days goes back all the way to 1909 when the very first a farmer growing peaches decided, hey, I'm going to have a little fruit festival. And he showcased his Alberta peaches. And people came. They looked at the peaches, looked at the fruit. People were invited to enter their fruit. So, and then they partook of the fruit, and it just grew from there.
Are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints used to own orchards out there. Mm-hmm. And raising my kids, we were oftentimes had assignment to go thin peaches or apricots or to go pick or whatever.
Yes.
The church doesn't own those anymore. Are they still there? Are the orchards shut down?
They are still there. The church does still own them, but they've leased
them.
They still own them. So, but yeah, they're leased to other people now.
No more church assignments and all that.
Right. No more church assignments, but the peach orchards are still there, and there's other really great fruit farms located in Hurricane that nice. Will still produce some great peaches. We will have peaches for sale at Peach Days. So if you want peaches, come and buy some.
Nice. I got to tell you, they used to warn people, when you're thinning the peaches or apricots, please do not throw them at other people. I don't think I ever went to thin or pick without throwing them. I mean, I had three sons, and that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do with a peach. Yeah. It's fine.
Don't throw them too hard to hurt anybody. You're just dumping them on their head or something like that. But Pete, I'm guessing there's going to be peach pie. That sounds peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler, yeah. For sure. There's always a vendor with peach pie as well. I mean, I guess I can't say for certain.
Oh, there will be.
I think so. But yes, but for sure, peach cobbler. Yes, we have a little, on Saturday, we have a little, it's called Pioneer Corner, where they do Dutch oven cooking, specifically with free taste tests of peach cobbler from a Dutch oven.
I love that, yeah. All right, what else is happening on Peach Days?
Okay, so we kind of covered Thursday. There's also, this is something that's new. This is actually the second year, but Hurricane just built a new equestrian park. We moved our rodeo grounds, which was pretty small for this growing town of Hurricane. We built a new equestrian park out by Rainbow Canyon, out by kind of past the church farm where the church farm was.
Okay.
And we had a one-day rodeo, and we've expanded to all 3 days. So Thursday night will be a family rodeo, and then Friday, Saturday will be a bigger rodeo with some rough stock, which we brought in last year for the first time. It was a big hit. We filled that new, beautiful park, and we hope to do it again as well. So not quite Dixie Sun Bowl size, but we're hoping to
get rodeo.
Yes. Nice. So that was a fun addition last year, and we're hoping it'll just grow.
Now, Tiffany, do you own cowboy boots or a cowboy hat?
I don't.
You do not?
I don't.
We're going to have to fix that. If you're going to go to a rodeo, you got to wear one or the other or both.
I agree. I'll work on that.
Okay. So. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I actually don't own either.
Oh.
I used to have a cowboy hat, but my son appropriated it. Is it probably the best way to say it? So.
You would think I would, coming from Hurricane, because we go to the other schools, and that's what they want to dress. When they play Hurricane, they dress up as cowboys. And I don't even own a cowboy hat.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, back in the 90s when you were in school and when I was new to the area, Hurricane was, I mean, it was, they used to call them Country Strong. And the kids, a lot of them grew up, you know, on the farm or near a farm or orchard or whatever. And I think that's a little bit of a misnomer nowadays, because Hurricane still has some of that, but Hurricane has gotten so big and so many new subdivisions. I mean, you just go out to Dixie Springs or whatever, and you're like, this is still Hurricane. You're still in the city.
Yeah, it's true. We're not, you know, we're not quite so the farm kids. You know, not very many farm kids left in Hurricane.
It's true. It's true. They can still be strong, but they won't be country strong,
right,
I guess,
right.
As it were. Okay, so we're into Friday a little bit at Peach Days, and we're going to talk more about Friday and Saturday, the culmination of everything on Saturday after this quick timeout. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDE. XU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It's 9:53 on KDXU. Thanks for tuning in today. Tiffany Wright is with me from Hurricane City. She's the recreation director there. How is your recreation department, by the way? Is it healthy? You got a lot of numbers?
We do. It is healthy. We're growing. The city's been great to support us. We've got some new facilities in the works. We're getting some gymnasiums that we have never had before. So not a full rec center, quite like, you know, Washington, some of the other surrounding cities, but gymnasiums.
How do the two new gymnasiums, how do they fit in with your whole department?
We're going to program the heck out of them.
Oh, yeah? Okay, cool.
Yes.
Not just basketball either, right?
No, volleyball, pickleball, and of course people want to use them just as meeting conference space.
Have you played indoor pickleball on a gym floor, though, by the way? It's an interesting experience.
It is different. Yeah. I think if you like it outside, it's going to be a hard shift to go indoors.
The ball kind of skips instead of bounces. That's one of the things I noticed.
Yeah.
It is nice to have air conditioning, though, I got to tell you.
It is climate. Cool. The climate control is a nice feature.
Yeah.
But the bounce is different.
Yeah. And there are usually, and I don't know how the new gyms are, but usually there's a lot of lines on the court. And so you have to, especially early on when you're first starting, you have to like, okay, the green line is the one I care about or whatever.
Yes.
Cause you got volleyball lines, you got basketball lines, you got all kinds
of
lines.
Everywhere. Yes. Yeah. It is so hard, but we want to be able to use them for everything.
Agreed. Awesome.
We put them all down.
Are there any sports in Hurricane Recreation Department that might surprise people, or are you just based on the basic sports?
I don't think that we have anything super unusual. I think we should start something unusual.
A little curling or lacrosse or something, right?
Right. I think we should. I mean, we don't have anything unique, I would think, outside the box of the norm.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. We're talking Peach Days a little bit, and we are 2 weeks away from Peach Days officially opening up in Hurricane. And, of course, Hurricane has a rich history of orchards and peaches and apricots, and it's cool. They're celebrating. I know St. George's adding something called Dixie Days next month, and they were kind of jealous, I think. Because, you know, Washington Cotton Days, Hurricane Peach Days, Santa Clara has Swiss Days. I don't know if Ivins has any days, but I think St. George's was like, we got to have a days.
St. George should have a days.
So they're having Dixie Days.
Now. Oh, good. So,
yeah. And you can't pick a Dixie off of a tree like you can a peach, but that's okay.
Yes, that's true.
All right. What else should we expect with Peach Days? And I guess the other thing, too, while you're answering me, what would motivate me as a non-Hurricane resident to drive to Peach Days? Why would I go?
Okay, well, so besides all the things we've talked about and the mm-hmm. fruit and the vendors and the people to come and see, we also do have, we have a unique little hidden gem there in our theater. We have a musical theater that we have right now. We have Beauty and the Beast that's happening mm-hmm. and it's playing some special performances during Peach Days.
Oh, cool.
So once again, climate controlled, come inside out of the
air
heat
conditioning, yes.
for a couple of hours and enjoy this really close, intimate experience in our theater. That theater crew has done a really good job in making a beautiful set, in a unique place in that theater. So we are excited to have Beauty and the Beast happening during Peach Days on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7. And then we also have a matinee performance at 2. I actually have some tickets with me. Is that something you could give away?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll leave you some tickets that you could.
We will give them away. I'll probably wait till maybe next week when we get closer.
That would be
Is that
awesome.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get folks fired up.
We would love to have someone that maybe hasn't experienced our theater to come over and experience that. We just nothing but good reviews in our theater.
That's something
that's a little bit unique about Peach Days. Besides all the performers that are happening on the outdoor stages, we have three different outdoor stages with different entertainment. So if I'm sure you're sure to find something on one of the stages that kind of meets what you're looking for.
Live music and stuff, huh?
Yes.
Casey Lofthouse. You know Casey's going to be there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
See if we can talk Eric Dodge to going over there, too.
Yeah. Occasionally we get Eric on our stages as well. So.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
So.
Got 1 minute left, by the way.
Oh, okay. Woo! This is faster than I thought.
I know. It goes quick, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Okay. We have a movie in the park that's happening Friday night. We're showing Luca.
Okay.
In the evening, we have a foam dance.
That's an animated Luca, right?
Yes, yeah. Animated okay. movies, just fun in the outdoors. Bring your blankets, spread out on the grass, and enjoy a movie with your family. Foam dance party also happening on Friday night.
Sounds messy.
Yeah. Clean, actually. It's very clean
messy,
and refreshing.
Messy clean, yeah.
Yes.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And then Saturday, we also have Pioneer Corner, a petting zoo. We've got a big Brahma bull that's coming this year that you can come take a picture
really?
With.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a Peach Days parade?
There is a Peach Days parade. It's Saturday morning, 9 o'clock.
And what's the parade path there?
The parade path, well, it's tricky, but just kind of goes in a circle right in the downtown, comes right past the community center and the high school.
Okay, Peach Days coming up in Hurricane City, August, what would you say,
29th, 30th, and 31st. Yes.
Got it. And, yeah, Tiffany, thanks for coming on and telling us all about it, and good luck with the Hurricane Recreation
Center. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for letting me join you this morning.
We'll have to do some pickleball.
Yes, let's.
Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.